Our next presenter is going to be Nolene McDonald.
Good morning. So what I'm going to talk about is the trends of phosphorus source at pressure to watershed scale, and I'm looking at two arable catchments or watersheds. Just to note, if I say catchment, it's what I say in Ireland, it's meaning watershed. And we're looking at two arable watersheds in Ireland. Before I continue, I would like to acknowledge my co-authors and the institutes that are associated with this study. Okay, so to give a bit of context, the two catchments I'm looking at that are arable, they're part of a larger programme. There's four other catchments in our programme in Ireland, and actually Sarah Vero, my colleague, will speak a bit more about some of these other catchments after the break, so I won't go into too much detail about all of them. The background in that the programme was set up to evaluate our nitrates action programme of measures for the EU nitrates directive. We do it across a whole territory basis for nitrogen and phosphorus. We recognise that phosphorus is a key trophic pressure. And in our measures in terms of restricting phosphorus, we do it through restricting phosphorus application for diffuse P, and we do it according to agronomic soil phosphorus levels. So we do across we have an agronomic index, a four index system, and it's index four basically. It's those soils that are seen as excessive in terms of having more phosphorus above what the crop or animal requirement is, and that's those levels that we're looking to reduce. So where our program is, our experimental design is across the nutrient transfer and continuum at our catchment scale. What I'm focusing here this morning is I'm going to talk about mainly the source and mobilisation. I'll touch a little bit on some of the phosphorus concentrations in our outlets. We want to see these, are they reducing the soil's phosphorus concentrations over a four-year study period between 2010 and 2013. So our two arable watersheds that I'm looking at, the first is Arable A on the left, which is a well-drained catchment located in the southeast of Ireland in County Wexford. Arable B then is located in the northeast of Ireland. It's on a Port Montague drainage site in County Louth. And Arable A, the dominant crop type is spring barley, whereas in Arable B, the dominant cereal is winter wheat. But actually for Arable B, you'll note in the pie chart there on the right-hand side that it's mostly made up of actually grass and pasture. And why we call it an arable catchment is because for its soil type, for its poorly drained soil type, there's a high density of cereal crops on that for that watershed area. So what we did is we collected soil samples at 2 hectare resolutions, so to a subfield scale in some instances, at a 10 centimetre depth. And we established a baseline for both catchments in 2009-2010, and then about 3 to 4 years later we went back and sampled the same areas again. We took additional sampling areas as well to give us some indication of additional soil chemical properties of these catchment areas. We also collected crop management and nutrient input and output records from these fields between the study period. And we also, as I said, we're a catchment study, so we're continuously monitoring the water discharge and the peak concentrations at the outlets of these catchments, so we have these results as well. So to dive straight into the results then, I'm going to talk about the pea management. So pea management being the pea inputs that are coming from the fertilisers. A lot of the pea inputs are dominantly from fertilisers in these catchments, and these are also pea inputs from grazing livestock that are being recycled back in. And then we have our pea offtake, so the pea that's been removed from the grain products and the pea that's been removed from the livestock in terms of product as well. So that gives us our balances, we're able to calculate our balances. But because we have baseline soils information, we can also carry out what we call a soil phosphorus balance. We can take into consideration the amount of phosphorus we're actually wanting to build up our soil levels to get to an optimum stage, so we're not always requiring on continuous fertiliser inputs. So first set of results are in Arable A, but to give you a bit of context, what are those kind of typical build-up levels? So what we have is, depending on what index you fall into, it could be between 10 to 20 kilograms of phosphorus per hectare. And the typical recommendation rates for spring barley, for example, in Arable A, are between 25 and 29 kilograms of phosphorus per hectare. So we're looking at Arable A, and what we've seen is the average pea inputs, and these are as I said, fertiliser inputs because they're the dominant form. And in Arable A, most of the inputs that are being applied are in chemical form. And we've seen across our study period there was an increase of 7 kilograms per hectare per year between the 4-year period, increasing every year. And the knock-on effect that had then on the average field B balances then is that we started off with a surplus of around 2.7 kilograms per hectare, and that increased then to about 7.6 kilograms or 7.5 kilograms per hectare in 2013. The effect that had then in terms of when we accounting for the baseline soils and what was required to build up the levels, on average it was saying in 2010 we had a deficit, and it seemed that the level of inputs then that were being put in by the farmers on a yearly basis was trying to close that deficit, but you can see that the deficit on average wasn't seen to be closing within this catchment. Then looking at arable B, just to give you a bit of context on the type of recommendations arable B would have, because I said before we do have a large area that's being grazed, and for the type of stocking rate that we have here, the kind of maintenance rates you would be allowed about 19 kilograms per hectare, and for the winter wheat being the dominant cereal crop, it's around 38 to 45 kilograms per hectare. So in opposite to kind of what the other catchment was getting, most of the kind of input form in this catchment is actually in the organic form. A lot of it coming from recycled cattle slurries, there's farmer manures, but also this catchment is also receiving some other industry manures such as poultry manure and spent mushroom compost. But what we've seen in this catchment is that while it started actually off as a lower input in 2010 compared to the arable A, it substantially increased in the latter years of 12 and 13, particularly because some of the traditional cereal areas were actually being converted into grassland and into more intensive dairying systems. So between the 4 years, it was a 16 kilogram per hectare increase in P. The knock-on effect down on the average P balances within this catchment was it actually started off as deficit, but by the time 12 and 13 came around, there was huge surpluses of around 25, well not huge, but huge surpluses of 25.5 kilograms per hectare. On average then, how that had an impact then on the average soil P balances then, it started off as a deficit, but on average it was saying that the amount of P inputs that was kind of happening should be kind of exceeding what the recommendations or what the P build-up allowances are. But really, that's just on average. So what we want to do now is take a closer look at really what was happening in terms of the soil trends. So what we have here is we have our four index system, and we have and it's based on the area weight proportion to which those indexes fall within the catchment, and we have them to for the two census years, the baseline and the repeated. So in arable A you'll see that there was, and those red bars, which is a decrease or decline of index 4 soils by 8%. But what you see in this catchment here is actually soil test phosphorus concentrations on average were decreasing across the areas. Why? Because we see the levels of soils, or the area soils that are deficit in P were actually increasing, those being index 1s and 2. So what would happen in arable B, then slightly different in terms that we had actually an increase of index 4 soils. You see that some fields are seeming to really getting those excessive inputs of phosphorus into them. And it's kind of skewing things a bit, because if you look at between the difference in the mean and the medium, most fields weren't actually getting huge increases, because you'll see as well that the distribution then in terms of index 1s and 2s, we still have more than 50% of the areas that are actually saying that there are deficits in soil test phosphorus. So really a poor distribution of phosphorus in both watersheds when you look at it that way. Before I leave the soil story, we know that there's physically a difference between these catchments in terms of drainage class, but also there's chemically a difference in terms of these catchments. So here I have on this graph, on the x-axis we have the degree of phosphorus saturation, and on the y-axis we have the water soluble P. And you see by the green arrow that I have there, once you pass 20% of degree of phosphorus saturation, what happens is in the blue diamonds there, arable A has a higher intensity in terms of being able to store phosphorus, as opposed to arable B. Arable B then, once you get past the 20%, you have a lot higher water soluble phosphorus concentrations happening. So I took you through the story in terms of what are the trends in terms of the inputs happening in these catchments, and if there's any kind of knock-on effect in terms of the soil test phosphorus concentrations in the area. What we also wanted to do was kind of have a look at in terms of the phosphorus inputs that are happening on these fields. What are they? Are they kind of matching up to actually the legislation limits for those crop requirements and the soil tests? Because we were able to take soil tests from every field. What was that kind of matching up? And within that, we also took into any considerations that were in these legislations, if you were allowed, if you had high yields and you were allowed additional phosphorus, those were accounted for. But also what was accounted for in this is there is arrangements that if you're applying manures from agricultural sectors that are land limited, such as poultry, pig manure and spent mushroom compost, if you were applying these in the years of 2010 2013, well, up to 2012, you were allowed to exceed the actual crop allowances. But then a limit came in where you're only allowed to exceed it from 5 kilograms per hectare in 2013. So those are the study periods. So what we have here is what I'll show you is I have two pie charts. And this is basically the three kind of category limits, whether what P was applied below the limit, equal to the limit, or P applied above the limit. And it's the area proportion within both catchments. 50% of both these catchment areas were actually getting P inputs below what the legal limits were saying, and about a third of the area were getting above what the legal limits were applying. So before I leave this, it's worth noting is, well, kind of, most of the time the regulations are working on a zero P balance, that you're only putting in what the crop allowance or the soil phosphorus allowances need. But the transition arrangements being applied to the catchment, that zero P balance doesn't really apply. So Arable B was actually getting was taking advantage of these transitional arrangements within the legislation. And the effect that had then was we basically didn't just see a 33% if the transition arrangements didn't exist in those periods, actually 6%, there was a 6% increase on that 33%. 39% of the area will actually had P above the actual limits. So it's interesting to note these things of if things weren't there to begin with, what impact that would have had. Before I just finish up on the results, as I said, we're a catchment programme looking at water concentrations and the phosphorus concentrations, just to kind of give you an idea of what's really happening in these catchments. Look at the dotted lines and the open symbols, because that's the TRP concentrations in these catchments between the study periods, and the red line is our threshold, our water framework threshold for TRP concentration. You'll see Arable A on the left-hand side. Most of the time, concentrations are below this line, whereas you see Arable B, most of the time, they're above it. My colleague, Sarah Vero, will actually go into a lot more detail in terms of, you might kind of think because increase in kind of maybe soil phosphorus concentrations in Arable B could be telling all the story. It's not. There are other influences. It's not just diffuse P. It's also a source P. But Sarah will kind of discuss this bit more in terms of why these concentrations might be exceeding. To conclude, so we've seen from our baseline and our repeated soil sampling that actually more than 60% of the area in both catchments are actually had deficient soil levels. And over our study period, the amount of P inputs and P balances seem to increase in both of these watershed areas. The effect that actually was that there was a decrease actually in Arable A of 8% of those risky P soils, those index 4s, and an increase in Arable B. We looked at then in terms of legislation, about one third of the area in both watersheds were seen to be putting P inputs above legislation limits. These NEP provisions that we have in the legislation, you know, for excess manure application, perhaps maybe actually impeding our chances in terms of reducing phosphorus in some of these soils. We see from our soils and the inputs is that there really is a poor distribution of our nutrients across field, farm, and watershed scales that are going to have a threat to agronomic and water quality goals. And that NEP legislation, really, you know, it's not accounting for soil-specific differences in terms of pea storage and mobility. And we've seen where Arable A had a higher capacity to store the phosphorus versus Arable B, so perhaps Arable A better maybe utilising more recycling of organic nutrients. My final remarks and recommendations are what we see from this kind of study is that really there's more focus needed in Ireland in nutrient management planning and one-to-one advice of this planning. Adopting things like the 4 hours principles, and maybe more soil and catchment specific in terms of this advice that could be better for agronomic and environmental outcomes. And that if there, you know, policymakers need to be aware that if provisions are to continue, such as transition arrangements, it may take a long time then to see maybe the improvements that they want in the ecology at these larger watershed scales. I'd like to finish there. Thank you very much, and just acknowledge my colleagues and farmers in the program. Thank you. Thank you.